Getting a visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 13th, Sunday morning, the 15th of April, 73. Channel 1 right, and beginning a visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 15th of April, 73. Channel 1 right, and beginning a visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 15th of April, 73. Channel 1 right, and beginning a visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 15th of April, 73. Channel 1 right, and beginning the visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 15th of April, 73.
I said we took longer than I thought we did.
About the way you ought to do it.
It was a nice visit. I don't think I've seen Tuck in such good shape.
Is that right?
I've seen him look a little better, but lively? He almost beat his neck to the door. LR is building a fence there around the place, so he didn't go riding yesterday. Like they stayed and built the fence.
Yeah.
And LR was just leaving. I apologize to him for getting there late. Sorry I couldn't help him, you know. I invited us on in, and it worked out just fine. Miss Debbie sat beside Miss Mac, and it just balanced it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I usually, if just me there, I just didn't have a chance, it seemed. But the foursome made kind of a group.
Mm-hmm.
And so she could talk to Ms. Mack, and they could just carry on, and Tuck could keep on talking, see, and have his own audience with me.
Oh, okay.
That worked out.
Well, you know, sometimes you have to do that.
Mm-hmm. And we, I guess we'd sat 2 hours and talked. And right toward the end, Tuck didn't, of course, didn't want us to leave, and Ms. Mac didn't show any emotion to invite us to dinner, though. I had to wait as long as I could. But he said, "You smell that?" And I smelled something. It was a banana
tree.
Yeah. And it just puts out a little blossom. It smells like a banana. It didn't have any fruit. So we moved out there, and she went out with Ms. Mac in the yard, and Tuck and I sat on the porch, and that's the first time he's gotten out there because of the weather, and she's afraid he'll get a cold.
Yeah.
And of course, when she got back in the house, there's Tuck sitting on the porch, and it was just pleasant. Just cool enough. I says, "Tuck, you think you ought to go back inside?" He says, "No, I believe this feels pretty good." We talked a little bit, but then she just got insistent and took him back on in the house, and we left. But, and they all don't hurry off now. He was just as fresh when we left. Fresh. He picked up on Mac Weaver.
Oh.
And got a little glimpse of Mac that, you know, it's nice when you can look at Mac with somebody else's eyes.
Oh, yes.
He said he traded furs, you know. And I said, "Oh, he did." "Yes." Said he, "As much as $15,000 at a time." What did he say, $15,000 or $1,500?
I don't remember.
I think it was $1,500 at a time he'd
yeah,
buy.
Yeah.
Said he'd walk in somebody's house and go, "You got something dead in here?" And go into their furs and like the furs were bad, spoiled, and you'd get them for a lower price. And apparently he got pretty enterprising and put his money in a little bank there in Reddick and bought the stock, and then he got burned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how that came about.
Oh, that bank is what hurt him.
So Mac must have been spreading out at the time. And Tuck says, God almighty, he was into barbering and fur business. And then I think he and some of the fellows went up to Camp Blanding and did some carpentry work, and they were just carpenters right away, you know. The fella came up with an old one-eyed blue-tick dog. And, let Tuck have it. And Mac said, that's a pretty good dog. And Tuck took it and went on ahead and found out he was a good dog, coon possum dog, real good. Well, Mac decided he wanted it. So he came up there and Tuck said, well, I sell him to you for $25. And Mac said, oh, no. And about the time Mac had these, he was trapping furs, and had these little traps, had a little coral spring on them. Tuck liked them a whole lot. They were only about a dollar a piece, so. So he traded Mac 18 of those, traded him the dog, got 18 of those traps. And, set them out and caught an old pile of possum and coons, and then sold them back to Mac for $56. Oh, did that make Mac mad? Said, you know, Mac wouldn't buy the dog unless he'd hunt with it. He came out and hunted a time or two before he'd buy it. A little one-eyed blue-tick dog. And I forget just how this went. They'd go back, and the dog would just trot along. They'd be back there trying to round up cattle and wild horses and stuff, and get lost, and they'd just listen to that dog and fall in behind that, and then get him out of there. But we just let it kind of carry along. When Tuck seemed to run out on the subject, Ms. Mac might bring something up, she just stuck it in that he's reading a lot now, because they've got these books. He used to read a lot, she said, and then he stopped, and he can't see well now, and they got these books with large print, and it must be half-inch high letters or so. So they get those, and Tuck reads now. That's better magnifying glass. So we just let it go along. And before long, he'd be back into something else. But when we hit Mac, he just came to life.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd been lively. But I, you know, got into Mac, and I said, well, you must know Work Carter. He said, oh, yes, I know Work Carter. And I believe, a little engineering, I might be able to get Tuck up there with Wirt, and if I could go along, that would just give me an in with Wirt, and I wouldn't have to worry too much about going to see Wirt anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it'd just be a friend of Tuck's. But he said, oh yeah, there was old Captain John Carter, and he was a conductor on the T&J. And then he went down the line of who married who. I couldn't keep up with him. Old Ed Rush and Sam Rush. Oh, it's a rich, rich vein right there.
And in that beautiful voice he had.
Now that those dogs gave you a pretty good toll, didn't they?
I don't think I'm going to find an end to it. It's just, they just take you everywhere. And Tuck's not a big hunter. He hunted a little bit.
Yeah.
But it just takes you all over. takes you all over.
Got a little food over there?
Yeah, I just
all go. That's gonna be something to put down. I'm just stuffed. But it just the leisure about the whole thing. I haven't had such a nice session, and I don't know when.
Yeah.
I mean, we never tired out.
Yeah.
We moved to the porch, just moved around a little bit, and we were all fresh and ready to go. And Ms. Mack had been willing, we'd still be going.
With a little cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Debbie had her under and told.
She sure didn't want to have him sit in the cold.
I believe it's just right out here.
Well, they don't trust him. He always overdoes it. He used to have a hard time. He almost died two or three times just by overdoing it. See. she's calling the play. See, makes it up.
I just left that in out there. I didn't fix it. So you're open.
I believe that is as good or better of any of the tapes. Oh, I just, if they could have that on tape. Oh, Lord,
well,
what a session.
Well, you take me over there, you see, or somebody else.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I believe you take the works, don't you? I forgot.
No, I don't take no sugar.
What I meant to say was, she didn't look like a mule. She looked like more. She looked like a horse. You see,
she is a gooder.
Missy don't look like, never did look like a horse, except in the rear end.
Now she is. She's something else. That horse is. I mean, she's just a 3-year-old and broke out that good.
3.
Just 3. Coming 3. She's not 3 yet. She hasn't shed her 2 first colt teeth.
And she not... She'll pay attention to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just lead her up the back of that trailer. She just steps right on in. No static. None whatsoever.
She might be an improvement on. Doesn't take much.
Well, I got her right. Actually, I ain't got no money anymore.
Yeah.
Well, but I got her for making a trip to Ponte Gorda and back. That's what I got out of my trip. And it cost me around $20 to make the round trip with a load of equipment.
How far is that? Which way is Ponte Gorda?
South.
Past Daytona?
Oh, yeah, it's on the other side of Tampa.
Yes.
Way
yeah.
down there.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Almost in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
Almost into Fort Myers.
Well, that's not a bad way of handling it. Just take it out in the horse.
Gosh, I've been offered $175 cash money for.
Yeah.
No, I don't need to.
You're not starving?
No. I ain't got no money, but I still ain't starving.
You never did have any.
I know what.
all have any. Money's the root of all evil.
As soon as you get it, before you get it,
somebody else has got it.
Got a place for it. You used to come over here with a billfold with a lot of bad checks in it.
I got them in my safety deposit box at the house.
Still.
No, I got one in there. Fella gave me. And then stopped payment on it.
Oh?
Sure did. $312 worth.
Why, did he?
Stopped payment.
Sure did.
Well, what can you do with that?
Hope I can collect.
Payment stopped. They mark on there.
Payment stopped. That was for 3 head of horses. I bought off a across the way here. What's his name?
Richardson.
Richardson.
Yeah.
Took him to Jacksonville. I gave him $300 for the horses, a mule, and a wagon. I took the 3 horses up there, and that's what the 3 horses brought me. And I got $60 out of the mule to another man, and I still got the wagon on top. But I'm still out that $300, first $300. I ain't got it back yet.
And that's from the livestock market?
Yes, sir. I stopped payment on it. See, I went up there, and I rode my horses in the ring. I rode them myself, and they hadn't been ridden in 6 months, I know.
Yeah.
Well, they performed beautiful for me. But a greenhorn bought one of them. He'd never ridden before. And he swore and jumped up and down that horse had never had a saddle on. So he went back on the man. Now the man stopped payment on my check. And in the first place, the fella that bought the horse stopped payment on his check. Because the horse wasn't what I said it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they come back on me, stopped payment on my check. Now I don't know where my horse is.
So you can't go get the horse, see.
I'm gonna let them get your horse.
I'm gonna get something next Saturday. See, they got a sale for next Saturday. I'm gonna get something out of that check next Saturday. Because I went to Scruggs' new assistant up in Gainesville, and he told me, he said, you take it back and present it to them. And if they don't make it good, he said, you bring it back to me. He said, they will make it good. See, he'll put a note on the door, by golly, to not even open up on Monday morning for a livestock sale. And he'll do it too, Sigmund Scruggs will. If I don't get my money.
Well, but look at all the trouble they're putting you
through. That's right. They're going to pay me for my trouble. Blame right, they're going to pay me for my trouble. They're going to pay me interest on that $312.
Since January.
That's right.
Way back then.
Yes, my fella.
Well, how long you been carrying that in your pocket? Well, since January.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't stop payment on it.
I've been carrying it around and trying to get my money out of it. I exhausted every thing I knew to do, so I just went up there to Sixby, and that's what he told me.
What do you know? And you rode them yourself?
Yeah, I rode them myself. I'm a cripple man. I rode them horses in the ring myself. They performed just as nice as that mare did out there a while ago when I was riding them.
Yeah. Well, now there you are, see?
Mm-hmm.
But a greenhorn bought him. Mm-hmm. Bought this one there. Said, mm-hmm. Well, she was a good looking thing.
Yeah. Worth everything he paid for.
Yes, my fella. She was worth every dime of it. And she was only a 4-year old. She wasn't supposed to know much.
Well, how is he going to protest and get the check stopped without taking a horse in?
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know whether Waldorf got the horse up there or what. But, heck, far, I could have kept running up there every day, spending $5 worth of gas. The first thing you knew, I'd have $312 burned up in gas. I took Frank Courtin last night. 171 mile cost me $5.41 worth of gas.
171 miles.
That's right. Done sure did.
Well, if I couldn't find something closer to home, I'd be damned if...
That was an exception. I ain't gonna do it no more. This was an exception. But he's about to get in trouble. It's a girl that he'd been dating up in Lightsway. She was going to run off. And I knew, Frank come to me. Frank, he'd been knowing this for 2 months. Oh, he had an awful heavy load on his mind all for 2 months.
Yes.
Lord. He come up to me the night before last. He said, Daddy, he says, I've got to talk to somebody. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, what's the matter now? Well, he said, Lynn's going to run off. And he said, the minute she runs off and they find out she's gone, they're going to try to pin it on me. And he said, this is going to be hard for me to explain. He said, now, what would you do? I said, all right, let me think of you a little bit. Took me about an hour to figure it out.
And bring up some of your own experiences to
That's
go
right.
by.
I run back and got some of my own. I said, well, where can I get a hold of Bob O'Neill? Well, he said, Lynn said he was going to the Moose Club for a steak dinner tonight. But he said, I don't want to bother him there. I said, that's beside the point. That don't make any difference. You said the Moose Club in Gainesville? He said, yeah. I said, all right, if he's there, I'll get him. I picked up the telephone and got him. He was there. And I told him, I said, Bob, we got a problem. He said, what is it? I said, well, I'd rather not discuss it over the telephone. But I said, it could be a serious problem. More so for you than me. I said, where can you meet me and what time can you meet me? Well, he said, how about meeting me at Mr. Donut in 30 minutes up on 13th Street? I said, well, I'm in Hawthorne, but I'll be there. He said, all right, I'll be there in 30 minutes. I said, now bring your wife with you. So I got Frank in my old truck, and we were sitting there in 30 minutes.
That old blue truck?
That old blue truck. And went in. A little while they came in. She come in, and she's a flippy type anyway, you know, high strung. She said, now what in the hell's the matter? I said, just calm down a little bit. There ain't nothing wrong yet. But I said, we don't want things to happen. She said, what you gonna do? Tell on Lynn? I said, no, I ain't gonna tell on nobody. I'm just gonna explain something to you and then let you first do the telling if there's any telling done. So I told him, I said, now Frank's been coming in for about the past 2 months with a load on his mind and he wouldn't talk to nobody. But I said, he come to me tonight like a man and said he needed some help. And I told him, I said, well, I'll help you all I can. And I said, the problem is, Lynn is going to run off. She's tired of staying at home. She said, I wonder why. I said, well, from what I can get from Frank, you and her have been a-fussing for the last 2 months. I said, she ain't done a damn thing to suit you, and you ain't done a damn thing to suit her. Now, I said, it's time for you first to get together. Now, they said, you got any suggestions? I said, yeah, I got some suggestions. I said, let Frank tell you his story, and then I'll make my suggestion. So Frank, he told her just the way it was, just what Lynn said. And it outlined the whole thing in a picture to her there, right there at the table. And she said, well now, Mr. Cook, she said, since Frank has outlined his troubles to me, now you tell me a solution for this trouble that we've got on hands. I said, you're too tight on that girl. They wouldn't let her step outside the door with Frank. I mean, when Frank was there, by golly, she had to be right in front of them all the time. Well, that ain't right. And she'd put up with it. And they was getting worse all the time. And then Bob, he wasn't paying her no mind at all. None whatsoever.
He wasn't?
No, none whatsoever, because she is not his child. She is by her former marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And he adopted her. He gives all the attention to that little boy, which is his child. And I told him, I said, now this is the way I look at it. And I said, Frank's talked to me. We've been talking for way over an hour. I said, loosen the reins on that girl. Let her go out once in a while. If she wants to. And I said, get off of her back. If she does something, compliment her. And if she don't do something just right, ask her why she didn't do it right. Don't jump on her and cuss her out. And that's what Faye was doing. That's O'Neill. That's Bob's wife. She was cussing her out. Well, I don't blame the girl. I wouldn't take a cussing either. And Frank called her up yesterday morning and asked her if she wanted to go to rodeo last night down in Ocala. She says, I don't know whether Mom and Dad will let me go or not. She said, they just too tight. Frank said, you go in and ask your mom and dad if you can go to rodeo with me and daddy tonight. I hadn't even planned on going.
Did you put him up to it?
Yeah, I put him up to it. I asked him first, I said, do you want to take her to rodeo? And he said, I'll take her if they let her go. I said, you go in there and call her then and ask her if she wants to go to rodeo. Okay, he called her up. That she didn't know whether to let her go or not. Frank said, well, you go in there and ask him and see. She went in and asked him. I said, yeah, you can go over with Frank and Mr. Cook. Well, there I was hooked. I told him to tell her, I said, well, you tell her that we'll be up there about 5:30, 6 o'clock tonight to pick her up. And that poor girl, Bob O'Neill told me yesterday evening when we picked her up, he said she's a different girl from the time she hung that telephone up. It changed her just like that. They wouldn't trust her to go, I mean, nowhere by herself. For she is mature far beyond her age. She's 14. But now, she looks like a 18, 19-year-old girl. She is mature far beyond her age. So that's what I had to do last night. I had to go to Lodgeway, pick her up, go to Ocala, sit down there and freeze and hurt.
3 hours.
3 hours a foot, 4 hours and a half.
The whole shebang.
That's right. I told Bob O'Neill, I said, I'll get her back safe tonight. I said, I don't know what time the rodeo will be over, but I'll get her back safe tonight.
You'll do it.
And I done it. I done it. Took her out. We took her with us. We stopped and eat. And the poor girl had not been out with the boy. She didn't know how to act. She hadn't been out in public enough to know how to act. I felt sorry for the kid. She's a beautiful thing. God, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
I just acted a fool with her, and she just had a ball, and she told Frank, she said, your daddy's the funniest man I ever saw.
What did you do?
I just acted a fool like a clown.
Oh,
it's hard to explain.
I don't know whether I could act a clown or not.
I tell you what, when you get to hurting as bad as I was hurting last night, you'll do anything to try to get your mind off that pain.
Yeah.
Lord, I went yesterday. I thought I was going to get off yesterday. Get away from there. But my God. Grandpa decided he was going to walk yesterday.
Oh.
Oh, and he hadn't walked since he's been down here.
He hadn't walked since he'd been down there.
That whole week?
Yeah. I had to be there. And when Grandma goes out on the porch, I got to be there. She don't trust Helen and Laura and Frank. I got to hold her hand. She just ain't got no confidence in the rest of them, I don't guess. And Grandpa's the same way. He won't get up hardly, and he just won't hardly go from a bed to the chair unless I'm there to help him. But I just laid the law down to him. I said, look, I've got horses. I've got to move them. I've got to get away from here.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave, I hope, tonight. Go to Georgia.
Are you not going to wait till tomorrow?
I'm going to get him in there in the morning. Get him in there in the morning. I got five killers. Oh, four things. I got to go. I'm afraid they won't last till tomorrow night.
So you all sat down there and clowned for 4.5 hours.
I sat down there and entertained them two kids for 4.5 hours, and I am dead.
Yeah.
But if it straightens that girl out and she goes on and gets her education, it'll be worth it.
Not run off
and get with a bunch of hippies and God knows where else you'll go or anything like that.
She couldn't run off over 20 miles to her Aunt Sarah's or something like that.
No.
She got to get in with a bunch of goons.
That's right. That was her. Well, you know, they go off. See, Bob O'Neill was vice president of the First National Bank. And he has to go to all kinds of meetings at night and everything.
Yeah.
They leave her there by herself, her and that little boy. And they won't allow nobody to come in there when they're gone.
Oh.
Nobody. There ain't nobody there when they're gone. And they're gone every night in the week, practically.
Just the two children
there by themselves. And then they come in and raise sand and cuss her out if she ain't got everything just up to par. And I don't blame the girl. I mean, I can see the girl's point.
Well, he's pretty well to do with
that. Yes, sir.
Did you know him when you was at the station? At the base station?
I knew of him, but he wasn't in the...
He wasn't one of the ones you knew then.
Well, I knew him then, but he wasn't vice president at that time.
Oh.
He just worked there at the First National Bank.
Yeah.
But in the past couple of years, well, he's been vice president and doing a real good job and getting along real good.
Except he ain't got any time for all them children. Both of those children.
That's
children.
Right. He'll take the boy with him and go places.
But she don't take her, the girl.
She don't take her nowhere. And she works the city of Gainesville 5.5 days a week. Yeah. She works for the city of Gainesville 5.5 days a week. Comes in, gets in at 6 o'clock, and expects that girl to have the evening meal cooked and on the table when she gets home.
How about that? Can she cook?
She can cook. Damn right she can cook.
But yes, she don't like to do it steady.
Well, the poor kid, now, she got to go to bed before 10 o'clock. Well, now, in high school now, they have so much homework that the kid just worries and she can't get her homework.
Yeah.
And come in, and I know, Harriet Ann's the same way. She comes in with a stack of homework out tall, and she sits up till 10, 11 o'clock every night getting her homework.
Yeah.
And it's wrote out by the teacher, home assignment.
Might as well do a jigsaw.
That's right, home assignment. And it's in every subject she takes. Home assignment. And she got to have it in the next day, or they it's just a day lost in school.
They get it on to her.
That's right. And Lynn's in the same grade Harriet Ann is.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
How old's Harriet Ann?
15.
Well, you... How do you get under so many things, Cookie?
I don't know.
Now, you've had these Mr. and Ms. Cobra solid now for a week.
Yeah.
Friday was the first day you had off? What happened to you? When did you come over here?
That's the first little while I'd had off. That's Friday.
Yeah.
The first little while I'd had off. I've been right there with them practically all the time. Long enough to run downtown and run to Gainesville and get something, get some medicine for them or something like that.
Well, how would you plow your...
Jumping like that. Day and night.
Oh, you mean you got a... There's a whole lot of that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Heck, far in the past week, I put 1,500 miles on that pickup right there and stayed right there with them just every minute I could.
And Helen's got to sleep a little bit.
She's got to sleep. There's no way out. She's got to have some rest.
Even with her own folks.
Yeah.
How are you going to plow or plant anything up there with all that going on?
I'm just going to have to, they're just going to have to realize the fact that I've got work to do myself and that the Helen and Laura and them girls can take care of them. They can take care of them. I don't have to be there. They think I do.
Well, that what you figured was that those girls could do it.
That's right. And they did too, but they won't trust them. Harriet Ann is, and Alice both just strong as an ox.
Sure, yeah.
They can do more with them than I can.
Yeah.
Actually,
mm-hmm.
When it comes to physical lifting, they can do more than I can.
Yeah. Gee whiz. I never saw any healthier specimens than those girls are.
I'm telling you.
Gosh, they're healthy. How'd you have such healthy children today?
I don't know.
You always been spindly and
puny and not worth a damn with a hole in it, as old saying goes.
Well, Helen's healthy. Maybe they all take it after her.
I don't know who to take it after. They don't take it after their daddy. Of course, I used to be husky like Frank. Back when I was his age, I was husky.
Oh, you were?
Oh, yeah.
And heavy?
When I come out of the Army, I weighed 173 pounds.
You did?
Why?
I damn sure did.
Oh, my.
I wore a 34 paint around the waist.
Hmm.
I wear 28 now.
Well, when did you start getting spindly?
When I come out of the Army?
Yeah. You know, when you came out of the Army, from then on, things was changed.
I'd have been better off if I'd stayed in this man's Army.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
I would. Because right now, I'd have been just about ready to have retired. Oh, I'd done been retired.
Yeah,
gosh, yeah. I'd have been retired 3 years ago.
But look what you'd look like now if you'd been in the Army. You couldn't face yourself.
Well, I'd have been.
Look at these fellas that retired, what they got. No. But it's hard. Everything you got into after you got out of the Army was hard.
That's right. I never did. I ain't never had an easy job except for the university, and now I can't go back up there. That's the easiest job I ever had.
Yes. It looks like you're just getting settled.
Yeah, but I'm not. Can't even get Social Security.
Can't.
I ain't granted it yet. Been 14 months for now, and I ain't got it yet. 13 months since I first applied, and I don't know.
Well, yes. Well, now what we ought to do, instead of sitting here and talking about our troubles, we ought to somehow get rigged up to where we could take care of ourselves. Now, you see, just as luck would have it, ever since you've been down here, I've been at least on my feet. I've been flat-headed and everything like that, you see. But I don't play my chances anymore like some people. You couldn't hire me out on that damn highway. Of course, my visibility is not as good as it was. I go about 10 miles and I don't give a damn, see, so I stay at home. Well, but now that's the truth. That's the truth. Now, let me tell you, Cookie, you've got to figure this. Some things happen that you don't see. Now, this fella, I forget his name, I heard him make a speech here, and he was talking about it. Had some curious name, Future Shock. I never understood what it meant. Future shock. Things were changing so fast. They were just changing. You can adjust a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But when it changes to the point where you can't.
A sudden change. You just can't adjust to it, right?
It's just constant change, constant, and so much. Now here's the thing that gets me, more than anything else. You see, we was brought up on cheap land. If a fella didn't like it over in this end of the county, he could go on the other end.
Yeah, I mean, land was cheap enough then to where he could justify himself in making the move.
Oh, yes. There's no trouble.
Yeah.
You see, there's no great demand for it. Well, the only demand for it now is not for ordinary people. They got so much money down in Miami and in Washington and New York and all those places. They just come out in open spaces. They paid $1.25 million for the Simon Ranch. Well, look what it does. There was 4 or 5 families over there lived on it.
Yeah.
Just ordinary people. Now you see all that's gone.
Yeah.
And Mr. Weaver hadn't got nowhere to run his dogs. Ain't anywhere he can run them. See, it's all cut up with these big highways where the traffic's so fast.
Yeah.
See, interstate, and this 441's getting so huge.
Oh,
301 is just as bad as any of them. Now, where are you going to run your dogs, you see? They won't run in a little 20-acre field.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. No way. They won't stay in 20,000 acres. hardly.
Oh.
If a deer jumps across the road on a 20,000 acre, they're going to go get it. A coon or a fox or whatever he's running. Them dogs are going to go. They ain't going up that road and stop.
Well, now, some things, you see, you can't cope with. There's absolutely no way of coping with
that. That's right.
So, I don't know what to do. You see, I don't want to just stay here the rest of my life. I'd love to fold up and try something else. But once I let this place go, ain't any more.
There ain't no more.
If there are, I couldn't touch them.
It's like that place of mine up there. I gave $4,400 for it 10 years ago. And I couldn't have, well, I couldn't even buy the fence now hardly for that.
You sell it for $20,000, what good is it going to do you?
I can't go and replace it for $40,000. There ain't no place to, there just ain't no place.
Well, now, you say, you see, that's harder on you than this little business that Frank got into.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the sort of thing you just can't budge.
No, it's a constant grind. I mean, it's just a constant load that you just can't unload.
And all this business about the automobiles, you see, about that accident. You see, you got that steel framework up there now with the state behind it.
That's right.
And they're going to enforce all that stuff. But you never saw that before.
No.
You see, you can't squirm. If you do, it's look how much effort. Well, that's cut me short a long time, you see. You see, in some good many ways, you can move a lot more than I can. But, like, you see, used to be everybody go up and talk to the sheriff.
Yeah, you can't do it now.
I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't.
You can talk to some of the deputies, but I can't talk to them.
I can't talk to very many of them since I tore that one up on that horse trade the other here a while back.
Yes, sir.
That went all over Luckson County, just like that.
What's that?
About me tearing him up on a horse trade.
Anybody I know?
No, he come from Miami up here.
Oh.
He got here and I went right to work with the Luckson County Sheriff's Department.
Oh.
They moved him in from Miami. I traded him a horse, 2 ponies. I mean, I just tore him up. I traded him a $30 rig for a $179 rig. And got $10 to boot.
And it spread.
It spread all over Lodgeville County.
Yes.
But I profited by it. I'll guarantee you. I profited by it.
How you figure that?
Well, people know I'm in the business. I'm in the horse trading business. They come to me. They want me to get them a good horse. I got one of the biggest horse traders was before my time. Old Jim Easter in Latchaway wants me to get him a barrel horse.
Oh, don't tell me.
That's right. He don't have the, he's just afraid of his own judgment.
Hmm. Is that right?
He said, bring me a barrel horse.
How about that, Faye?
That's real getting up.
And he's in the business all the time.
He's got 30 or 40 head of horses all the time.
All the time.
But he said, bring me a barrel horse.
He's up at Waldo.
No, he's up in Latchaway.
Well, who's in Waldo?
Joe Rosenthal.
Well, he's a pretty considerable dealer, too.
Oh, yeah. He keeps 30, 40 head of horses all the time, too.
And Joe East is in Latchaway?
Yeah.
Where's his headquarters?
Just north of Mabane,
yeah.
School, on the left-hand side.
On that road?
Yes, sir.
And he's been there?
5 or 6 years.
That long?
Yeah.
still fairly open country.
I know it's building up all fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there for a while, you see, the land was held in pretty good sized tracts, and you couldn't chip it off. All they want to do is move the whole track.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is now.
Well, see, back then, there wasn't as much money in circulation as there is now.
Yeah.
And people, I don't know, they just...
Well, these developers get them 20 acres, you see, and fill it up for these little houses. Would that account for some of it?
That accounts for a lot of it.
And they can get it, because they can pay for it.
Yeah. It's like that piece of property there of mine. See, it's got an 8-acre track on one side and 11-acre track on the other side.
Oh, well, it has.
Yeah.
And you're in the middle.
I'm in the middle. They can buy both of them, but they can't buy mine.
Oh, that's
the federal government won't loan them money to build on that smaller tract, to build up that smaller tract. So I've got the key piece of property right there. That's why I've been offered $25,000 for it.
Yeah.
From a developer right there in Hawthorne. I said, no.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, you know, just having these fellas like this out here, nothing else going on, the way it's been now for a year, is It ain't much happens out here anymore, Cookie. It is, I don't know, sometimes I sit out there and just bored.
With yourself?
Yes. And there ain't anything I can do about it, you see. There ain't anybody to talk to, much less do anything. It's no great pleasure even to build a gate, you see. And it used to be you'd go out and build a gate and have a pretty good time.
Yeah.
And how have I gotten that position? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm a hoping. After I get these legal papers and everything filled out and signed and get them on the road and get Grandma and Grandpa on their feet where they can move by themselves, I'm hoping to have just about a permanent headquarters right across that field out yonder.
Well, you see, but you had so much on you. You ain't been out here.
I ain't. No, I couldn't be in 4 or 5 different places at one time. I've had so much, by golly, I just couldn't do nothing.
Looked like if you'd get down in the bed, then you could get a few more things on you. The farther down you go, the more you get.
Further down I go, the more I get.
And I ain't got something.
See, I've got to take Helen to work at 9 o'clock at night. 9:30 every night. I've got to pick her up, got to get up at 5:30 every morning. Go get her.
My cousin?
That's an everyday affair. Okay. Then if they need any medicine or need to see the doctor, since I've had them down here,
mm-hmm.
I've got to go back to Gainesville. I got to go all over Gainesville and fight the traffic and all frustrated and nervous and everything. And get their medicine, get back to them. And Laura, she runs just as much as I do.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, I don't know what we'd get. We just couldn't get along without Laura. There just ain't no way.
That's right, because Helen can't move much.
That's right.
But she gets a chauffeur.
That's right.
Well, Laura's getting so she can She can do things you can't do. You don't have to tell her what to do anymore.
No, she knows. She got the know-how. She been around the horn, that girl has.
She's learning down there.
Yes, my fella.
She don't have a choice. So much comes up, she can't help but learn, can she?
That's right. If she's there, she's going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Unless she's asleep while she's there.
Well, and they just got to have force, I guess, and have them not working.
That's right. Three-fourths of them's niggers, and a nigger ain't going to work.
They ain't going to work, and they ain't going to learn.
That's right, they ain't going to learn nothing. All they're looking for is sundown payday.
Yes, sir. They'll get it these days.
They get it, and there ain't nobody says nothing to them. Nobody.
Nobody says nothing to them. Well, now, Laura sees all that.
Yeah.
And still, she got to go ahead and do things.
She got to go ahead. She keeps her section of that door clean. She empties them trash baskets twice every shift. When she goes on, and then just before she goes off, she empties them again. And there's niggas there that hadn't emptied the trash can since they've been there.
Well, you know, yes.
She said she was in Ruthie's section down there the other night, and the trash baskets was running over and on the floor, and they wouldn't say nothing to her about it. Because
yeah.
She's a nigger.
Yeah.
That's right. Because she's a nigger.
Well, that's what you put up with. I had a run in with a nigga down here on Saturday. The Seminole truck. My fault. I was partly my fault. I just as kind as I could be. And a couple of these, they were behind. Let me tell you. I don't know what to do about this, Cookie. I used to have a bunch of them out here from the campus. And I sort of cut down on that. And some of them that come out here was always interesting. You see, a few of them.
Yeah.
Not many. A few of them. And nice to have them around.
Yeah, but and then some of them, I mean, they just got in their own way.
Yeah.
That's just about that. Just about that simple.
They don't know a thing about after they get their feet on the ground, off the concrete. They now you don't find one in 50 that knows. What to do next?
No.
They don't want to learn.
No, just like Alvin Pons up there. He kept promising me, oh, I'll come over and bring my tractor over and plow your garden, cut your garden up for you. Oh, yeah, that he would. Yes, sir. He kept coming over at night, and I'd be doing welding for him, and keeping his stuff going and everything. He never did come plow my garden.
And it took him about an hour.
It wouldn't have took him that long. I've been out there and I had to go out there and shovel it up. I took a round point shovel and spaded my garden up.
How far is he from you?
About 9 miles. So I just can't do more welding for him now. I just ain't got time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do they charge $50 a day for a tractor for? And you haul it?
Yeah. That's the rent on it.
$50 a day.
Even for 3 acres?
Yeah. 3 acres. See, I've got to take my truck, trailer, go get it. I got to fill it up with gas before I take it back, too, because it's got to go back full of gas, just like I got it. Paying $50 for the use of it. I just ain't got no other alternative if I had.
What are you hauling then? Is that one of them little yard tractors?
No, it's a little 8-inch, just like yours.
Where do you put it in?
I'm going to try to put it in that trailer right there.
Or you'll have to take the wheels off or something.
I don't know, I don't think over 5 feet. I'm 5 foot inside. Well, actually, I'm 5 foot and 1 inch inside.
I measured it. And the 8 inches were way past that.
They are.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll get something else to hold on. If it won't go in there, I'll get something else.
You couldn't do it one day. Because you don't have the time.
Well, I've got to do something. That's all there to it. I'm not going to. I just can't see buying hay all summer for my horses.
And there's giving them that feed.
That's right. That expensive feed. I just can't see it.
In the horse business, that's more. It cuts you down.
Yeah. Well, I see Laura's got her horse up there, little man. And the kids got the little pony, which I ain't gonna sell. They had too much fun with that pony. And Alice does take care of her pony.
Does she?
Yes, my fella.
Well,
yes, my fella. She takes care of her pony.
Yeah.
And she takes care of Laura's horse.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna sell them. Because, I mean, you know, Laura, she helps out there all she can and works hard. So I'm just, she wants to keep her horse and that's all she's got.
Well,
I'm gonna keep him.
I tell you, I don't know. I don't see my way clear to do anything out here. You see, I don't have any help at all. And if I got it, it would run me crazy. Any help I could get.
Well, I've only got my own personal property up here. I've only got 3 acres. Well, an acre and a half of it is all I can. I've got an acre and a half about in my yard, fenced in around there. Oh, about an acre. Well, about 2 acres of it actually is all I can cut up. But I got that other 3 acres there. Got it from Miss Sapp. I did under fence for the horses to run in. It ain't nothing off them to eat. Well, that 3 acres there that I got from Miss Sapp is what I was going to cut up, put millet in. And I told her for the use of it, I'd put it in permanent pasture.
Yeah.
The hair.
But you haven't done it yet.
I ain't got nothing to do it with. And I can't go out and buy a tractor just to do that. I ain't going to afford it.
And with all the tractors around there.
I can't get nobody to come in there. They ain't got time.
Well, what in the hell? If they got time for you to weld for them.
Yeah, but he ain't got time to come over and cut that piece of ground up, and I done quit welding.
Well, you won't quit long. You'll start up again.
By golly, I quit for him because he called me the other night, and I said, I just ain't got time.
Bring your tractor and,
I just told my last name you didn't have time. Then take Johnny Boone up there in Boone's Welding and get and pay $10 an hour for his welding.
And then some.
And he'll pay for it there.
Yeah, that's it.
He'll pay for it there.
Yeah.
He can go over and I done it, for instance, my electricity, my machine, my rod, my time.
Yeah.
And I'll come over and cut your garden up for you.
Yeah.
And then you ain't near it. I had to shovel my garden up.
You never got much out of that crowd over there at Elvin's Little Baptist Church.
No, they've all got it out, sure got it out of me, though.
The rest of them got you, too?
Yeah, well, the whole church got me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The whole church clipped me for $200. It was like that. And I didn't fail to tell that preacher the other day. He come up to my house.
Oh, did he?
Yes, and I told him about it.
Told him again?
I told him again, right in front of Grandpa. And I looked up at him. Well, he said, that's the way the world wags nowadays. Just let it go at that.
There's not much else he can do. Where's Helen? She's doing her singing now.
Home? At home.
I'll tell you, it's a different place whenever she gets there with some of those girls. Different place.
I wish you'd heard to go up and see Grandpa and Grandma.
Well, Cookie, I'm perfectly willing, but I'd like you trolled out, and I don't know where I'm going to get off. And see, these old cars are out of fix half the time. And
well, now, that ain't no excuse, because I got one out there that goes. Buddy?
Yeah.
It even takes boys courting.
Yeah. We better go on out, Faye. And I want to see this
yeah,
ring a little bit. That's what I was, that's what sort of, you see what they'll all do. They'll all come out here, these young people, and knock around. And treat it like a park, and ask you silly questions like how many cows you got, and how old is this horse, and drive them big cars in here, and every man drive a car by himself, you see.
You ain't got room to turn around for the cars.
But the one thing they don't do, they don't take a hand anywhere. They don't stay long enough to know anything. And you see, what they like to do, they need a place like that. If somebody else will furnish it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't go out, Faye can't go out there and catch them horses. She used to do it, you know. And I don't know anything about the horses. They can't handle cows. They don't want to.
No.
All they want is someone to put saddle on for them. Well, what they want is a groom. Well, let me tell you, the older people, the adults are like that. They like for the children to come out here. And when they come out, if they come out here with the children, they want to sit and chew the tobacco, smoke the cigar.
Yeah.
And let somebody else take care of the children. The children don't know if they can't take care of themselves.
No, they don't
know
enough.
Not with livestock.
They don't know enough.
No. But they haven't got enough initiative just to fiddle around in the community and get one boy or two boys like they do the bag boys, you see, at those stores, who could come out here long enough to learn to be a groom and handle things a little bit. You see, Nick was perfect while he was out here, except, of course, we never knew when he was going to be here.
Yeah.
And he was here regular, day now, day then, you see. But he was good with the children, and he seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, but, and whatever happened to him? I haven't inquired. But you know, that spring, you see, when he was a senior up there, he was, that summer, he was going to come out here and just take over the place and get a crop of hay. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he had an automobile accident. And he's up there in court, one thing or another, and he never would tell me what had happened. And even when he was up there, and I put out $300 or $400 worth of fertilizer.
Yeah,
on the strength of that. And on this, and he wouldn't even, he couldn't even say, you know, check in with me, tell me what's going on. Well, now that's what you deal with. And he's one of the, see, he's rich. He's one of the elect. Why should he have to hold out on me? But they don't have places like that. Not any of them have. And, you see, I don't care too much about them. I don't know. I do a little bit for them. But, you see, I find them tedious. I don't get much pleasure from those birds.
No. It's a hard, it's hard on an individual. And
I remember when they used to come over and talk to you? You'd come over here pulling your hair.
Yeah.
Well, I took that all the time.
Yeah.
So unless you got somebody around who knows what's going on, you just feel like you're in the asylum too.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. You're all in the hospital. I don't know what it is. But now that's what I've been facing now some time. And I thought these chaps, you see, I thought they'd pick up a little.
They need something. Tell you what they need.
I don't know what they need.
They need a leader.
Yes.
I can take the two of them.
Yes.
Well, you say, now look, we're going to build this strand of fence today.
Yes.
You start digging holes and you start putting posts in the ground.
Yeah.
See, I was just about to get in a position where, well, we were
yeah,
all to where we could accomplish something.
That's right. We're almost there.
I mean, we was just almost to the top of that ladder.
Yes.
And then, damn, here I had to fall down.
Yes.
It went all, I mean, just went flat.
Yeah.
Went right back. I mean, my health wouldn't let me do it.
Well, now, you make more blunders than I do. You do more, but you also make more blunders.
I make a lot of blunders. I mean, if I didn't do nothing,
I mean, before
make
your health gave way, you got to play in your chances over at university. And taking and doing all this moonlighting and taking all those chances. You see, I've been in it so long, I could see that. I don't think anybody can win at that.
No, they can't. It cost me more than just money.
Yeah. I don't know. You see, I don't keep up with Jack Stokes. But when I knew him, he never took a day off.
He does now.
Well, hell, he got tenure and everything else. He's established over there. And he knows the whole shebang. But how long has it taken him? He's been there 20 years.
Right.
Now, how much what liberties he takes, I don't know. But, hell, the ones I know over there, where I work, they don't take them. The ones that do get, they hear from them. Yeah, you just, I don't know, there's The whole setup over there, you see, is just perfect for a man who'll just take it easy. Who've got something that they want. So sort of take it easy. I don't believe you can take it easy.
No way.
You start turning handsprings.
I get so built up inside from sitting around. Yeah. I just dang sure can't sit there.
Well, now there you are. That's it.
I mean, I can come out here and I can take it easy right out here, guy, and I could do anything else.
Yeah. How long would you actually last on that garbage truck?
Up there to university? Not very long. Ain't no work. I mean, it's too.
You just couldn't sit in that truck that long.
Ain't enough action.
Like old, you just brought up wrong, you see. Well, I tell you, oh, they've got some pikers up there. They don't know which end's up.
Yeah, they got some, they really got some dillies.
They got them.
Yes, my fella.
They got them. That fella you bought that cow from up there.
Oh,
if you can go get any further off than that, I don't know where you'd find one.
Well, they got someone worse shape than him too.
I'm telling you, oh God Almighty, it gives me the willies to think about that boy. And he don't even know where to put the pipes with the blueprint in front of him. Let's go out there and see a horse. Sure. I tell you, it gets sort of tedious around here, I tell you, too. Just like it does up there.
Well, you know, I'm used to. I was brought up in a place like this.
Yeah.
And I can find enough stuff around here to keep from getting bored and keep them
out. Yeah.
I can keep things moving. I can keep things going.
Yes. Well, look at them. We had, don't you know, when we was putting in that ride on there, we had people all over the place and all of them was excited.
Yeah.
Everything going on, you see.
And I really enjoyed myself. I had a good time.
Yes. Yeah, it takes two or three people to sort of cracking the whip, keep things going, but
yeah.
What difference that made. Yeah, they won't forget that.
That's right.
I got my car.
Sound one right, around 1600, the end of visit with Cookie, this Sunday, the morning, the 15th of April, 73. Channel 1 right, around 1600, 1700, the end of visit with Cookie, this Sunday morning, the 15th of April, 73. Channel 1 right, end of visit with Cookie, this Sunday morning, the 15th of April, 73.